The prophet Isaiah knew what he was talking about. Scholars have proposed that the book of Isaiah should actually be divided into three sections. This section we read this morning comes from what they call 2nd Isaiah, some scholars. It's thought that it was written at a time when the Israelites were still in exile in Babylon, but Cyrus had become king of Persia, and the Persians had defeated the Babylonians, and Cyrus was telling the Hebrew people that they could return home to Jerusalem. So it's unclear at this point whether perhaps some of the Israelites had already begun to return home. But the point is, when Isaiah says, God makes a way, Isaiah is seeing it right then. This long, decades-long exile away from home for these Hebrew people, longing for Jerusalem, longing to go back home, and it looking like they'll never go home. Suddenly, because of the rise of this king of Persia, they have a way home. Isaiah doesn't quite say it this way, but it has been said, and I'm sure you've heard, God makes a way where there is no way. That's, in essence, what Isaiah is saying. Notice, Isaiah says, God makes a way through the sea. And later, God makes a way through the desert. So whether you in your life right now feel like you're treading water in the middle of the ocean, or stuck in the middle of a parched, barren desert, or somewhere in between, God makes a way. That's the new thing. I am doing a new thing. Don't you see it? Don't get stuck in the past. Don't ponder ancient history. Be looking for this new thing. For the people of Isaiah's time, the new thing was this way home. But of course, the whole point of Jesus coming was to be and to do the new thing. Jesus shows us a new way. And I think that's what Mary is picking up on in this account in John's Gospel. Mary sees Jesus doing something new. Now, I don't know how much she understood of what was about to happen, but clearly she has some sense of what is coming as she anoints Jesus' feet with this perfume, as he says, which is to be used for burial, and dries his feet with her hair. This is foreshadowing for what is soon to come. Remember, we are, according to John, at this point, 6 days from Passover. Remember, it was the Passover that got Jesus and the disciples to that upper room to have what we now call the Last Supper or communion. Jesus doing something new. I think it's also worth noting, we're not being told to forget the past. You know, I've said those words already today. Here they are on the table. Do this in remembrance of me. We are to remember the past, but not to get stuck there, to look for what's coming. And that's what Mary is doing, I believe. She sees something. She knows something is coming. She may even know it involves Jesus dying. But what's also fascinating to me about her gesture with this perfume, it is about burial. But Jesus is never buried. It is to bring this perfume and spices to the tomb that gets the women there on Easter morning. So Mary's gesture with this perfume is really about Jesus' resurrection, not his death. Does Mary realize this? I don't know. But she knows something new is about to happen. It's Judas who's stuck in the past. Ironically, given that Judas will be the one who does the one thing that'll get this whole story started by betraying Jesus. But he's stuck in the past. Judas, you know, makes this false hypocritical claim about the poor. Oh, why did we waste this perfume? The money should have been given to the poor. And according to John, he doesn't care a fig about the poor. He just likes to have a full money bag so he can, pay for his groceries out of that. Judas is, according to John, a bottom line guy. That's old thinking. That's not God's thinking. Judas is stuck in the past. Mary sees the future, the new thing that is coming. I'm doing a new thing, God says. And I think God is always doing new things. I think that's one of the marks of God's kingdom. Always being made new. It's part of the promise to us. We can be a new creation. Each and every day. Maybe each and every moment. God is doing something new. This seems a particularly good time to hear that message as we're about to have this annual meeting to reflect on the year past and look ahead, maybe the more importantly, look ahead to the year we are now well into. And I would encourage you as part of that to be paying attention to new things in your own life, but also in our life together. I will mention just a few that I have seen over the past year or so. We've got a whole bunch of new people in leadership in this congregation, along with some old favorites, seasoned veterans, but some new people, new voices, new perspectives. It seems to me there is a renewed, if not new, a renewed desire to focus on the young people in this congregation and the children, on Sunday school, Christian education, that sort of thing, but also other ways that we can come together as a congregation. There is an idea out there that I suspect will come to pass officially soon to have a new committee. Imagine that, a new committee to focus on planning events for the congregation, for us to come together, not just for worship, but for fellowship. Again, maybe that's not brand new, but it's a renewed idea, perhaps. There's some new faces we've been seeing in the past year here. There's new things going on. But it's always easy to get stuck in the past. This is especially true for all human institutions. Maybe, unfortunately, especially true for the church. I've said it before, and you've probably heard it, the last words of the dying church. We've never done it that way before. God's doing something new, but it's so easy to get stuck in the past. Make the church great again. As opposed to, what is God doing now? How does that look? How can we get involved? So I would encourage you, especially on this Sunday, when we're going to be doing some reviewing of the year past and looking ahead, to make sure you are not forgetting the past. Remember it, but don't get stuck there. Don't expect the new thing God is doing to look anything like what God has already done. It may, but it may not. Don't expect things to happen the way they've happened in the past. Be looking for what is new. And perhaps asking the question, once you notice what is new, how will you respond? How will we respond?
Amen.